Hear the translation again. Can repeat it this time. Ovidura, it is not at all wonderful that you have accepted the Lord without deviation of thought. For you were born from the semen of Vyasa. Okay, so that's a big issue. There's birth control. Omagana Tamiranda Syaganandana Salakaya. Chakshura Militanyena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. Shi Chaitanya Manobisham Dapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparam Vandeham Shi Guru Shi Yuta Padakamalam Shi Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shi Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghuna Sanvitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shishi Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Srinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pascha Desatani Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Krishna. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So thank you very much. I'm very fortunate to have an audience of Vaishnavas. Try to say something worthwhile. Prabhupada stressed on this quality control. Like Japanese manufacturers, they've developed a whole system of quality control. And then they gradually produced more also, but because they had really good quality, they wiped out the places that were just producing many, many, many things that weren't worried when they didn't have competition. So this so-called birth control, where they just try to limit the number of births, but birth, death, disease, and old age is just part of the material world, so you cannot stop birth. People make great efforts, but still, you know, it doesn't work, or the woman, you know, doesn't take the pill, or something happens. So they like abortion, and it's a guaranteed one. But I saw the sign that's near the temple there in Chopadi, save the tigers. You know. But years ago in Vrindavan, there was a big campaign, you know, Garba Pat Mahapap. But that didn't last. You know, they don't want to push that. They think that will make too many people. So, but if you have even a few people, but they're all bad, they'll just be fighting and making trouble. And if you have many, many good people, you can live like our ashrams. You know, many people can live. It's all right. But that's the whole idea. So Vyasadeva, of course, is, you know, empowered incarnation of Krishna. And somehow he was called to impregnate the princesses. The one was afraid. Vyasa was kind of a wild looking, and she closed her eyes, so Dhritarashtra was born blind. Then the next time she put the maidservant, and the maidservant was completely well behaved and submissive and everything, so it got Vidura. Important, the consciousness at the time of conception. You know, some foolish, like, I don't know if they still do, but Christians, they say that life comes in at the time of birth, you know, when the baby appears out of the womb, then the life comes in. Because that's when he starts breathing, but, you know, somehow he's living in the womb from the mother. He's not breathing in there, of course. but he's living in that state. And that's quite foolish because it's growing the whole time in the womb and developing all the different senses and limbs and so on. Definitely alive, there's something there, and it's causing this growth. It's caused by the soul. If there's no soul, then the body doesn't grow anymore. So they have some very foolish ideas, and that's how they were justifying abortion. Yeah. It's just a something, not a person. Recently, somebody was suggesting that they have after birth for a year or two, it would be all right to kill the baby because it's still, you know, it's not a developed personality and all these different things. And she was saying that just like abortion is all right, so this would be all right also. But that didn't go over. It was great protest. But they couldn't understand that actually it was saying abortion is abominable also. So we want, and there's plenty of people on the planet, but we need good people. And those who are there, they need to be trained to be devotees, and if they're going to have children, how to raise them properly from the very beginning. People wonder why they have bad children, you know, but they're having, you know, combination of man and woman all the time, and, you know, using all kinds of things to control the birth, but then they get a child, they don't really want the child. They might have been completely intoxicated at the time of conception. Fighting just a few minutes before, the man and woman. So they get all these crazy children. They're watching television and some hellish movies. And so they're not, they don't think about consciousness. This is the whole idea of bhakti yoga and all yoga, is to develop a higher consciousness. To know that we're the soul and we want to attract good souls. And, you know, of course, somebody will say, well, sometimes somebody comes from a terrible, they don't know their father, the mother was a drug addict, and the child comes out quite good. And sometimes from a so-called good family, the child is completely bad. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya mentions that he had a son conceived by Mother Earth when he picked up the earth as Varaha. He was a good boy, he said, he trained him himself, and he was a good king, but he got into bad association. Who was he? Banasura and somebody else. And he became demoniac, and then Krishna had to kill his own son, because he was demoniac, he was just making trouble for him. So even Krishna's child, Advaita had six sons, the three became what? Asara, and not that they were demons, but they rejected it, and then they made up their own idea. And they left out Lord Chaitanya and were thinking that Advaita is the supreme origin of everything, against all of Advaita's teachings. The other three sons were very good and, you know, great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya was, you know, he was a sannyasi and the perfect sannyasi, but he was very happy when householders came with their children and they had good children and they're raising them properly. Prabhupada also. He wasn't happy when, you know, he didn't take care of the children. Taking care of children is a great responsibility. Taking care of cows is a great responsibility. Right? Yeah, it's like having children. It was interesting yesterday. I was down by the, and only the bulls were there. And they were all so peaceful. They were just eating and, you know, just nobody was bumping or anything. And then all of a sudden, they started dancing around and playing and pushing each other, you know, the head. And somebody said, oh, the cows are coming. So the girls were in the and all the bulls started showing off, you know. Same like humans. Like all animals. It's just natural that Krishna made it that way. They're competing. And I know when Madhavi was teaching some boys and young boys in the temple, and he was saying they were so nice, you know, they were just so well behaved. And then two girls joined the class, and immediately the boys were just competitive like anything. She couldn't teach anybody anything. She'll never do that again. That's why traditional schools keep separate. Brahmacharya ashram. Prabhupada is stressing that's required so that Brahmacharya learns to live without this, you know, combination in a gross level. He learns to control his senses so he can have good children and raise the children properly, not just like cats and dogs, that nobody can control them. But people are more worried, like these dogs you have here, they look to me like champion kind of dogs, you know, purebred, right? So they're very careful about how they mate these dogs. And when you go to buy a high-class dog, they'll show you the long list of the parents, you know, the grandparents, all down the line, that they were all first-class dogs. So this dog is going to be really good. Pigs also, they do this. I guess bulls also. But for people, most people don't think about it at all. Just, of course, the animal won't think about it if he's loose. You know, then they just go. But the humans, they don't worry, except sometimes very aristocratic families. You know, they're worried about getting the right girl and the right boy. But generally, people don't think about that. They don't think about what they eat either, but for the animals, if they have pig farmers, the dog shops I see, I haven't seen in India, but they must have them. But all kinds of special gourmet dog food, gourmet cat food, you know, medicinal. But if you let the dog go, he'll go and eat garbage. You let the cat go, it'll maybe hunt down some mouse or bird or something, no matter how much nice gourmet food you feed. They're just crazy people. But quality. We want quality education, we want quality buildings. You know, like you're building a building, we want quality, you want a good plan, you want good supervisors. Make sure the workers are doing what they're supposed to do according to the plan. There's somebody checking the plan. Right? Like in Mayapur, somebody was criticizing the plan and they called Gauranga Prabhu to interview different engineers and say that everything's okay. Because he created great disturbance all over the world by saying this is going to break. We don't know why, but we need. We had experience in Africa where they try to build a building as cheap as possible, as fast as possible. So they get a building, it looks okay, but then after a few years everything's falling apart. Many buildings that are built around my grand Vrindavan, they're junk. You know. If you go in, you know, within a few months the faucets are broken and the toilet seat falls off. And that's just, you know, the doorknob, doors won't close or warped or something. So we have to be careful. We want things to be first class, especially for Krishna. But, and so we want first class people. Of course, we're recruiting just anybody and everybody. But we test by, you know, how much they're eager to hear about Krishna, how much they're eager to submit. Then the birth is not considered so much. You know, Lord Nishananda didn't consider all the, like Jagai and Madai, they were born in a Brahmin family and become very degraded. Ajamil, he had a Brahminical youth. So then he became very degraded through his sex desire. But when he started finally chanting Narayan, Narayan, his youth, early youth, came back to him. And he remembered Narayan. So he was saved. We've also seen it work the other way. Someone comes from a very bad background and they become a devotee for some time, but then something happens and they fall right back to the early background. And even someone joins the ashram, the early training is very, very important. We'll always fall back to that. If new devotees come and they're taken care of very nicely and trained with love, and they're going to stay. And they won't fall back to their bad habits. They won't think, oh, somebody was mean to me or somebody mistreated me. But Vidura is, of course, he's Yamaraj. So he's already a great devotee, but evidently he's not remembering that in this book. He was apparently cursed to take birth as a Sudra because of some judgment that wasn't approved by Judge the Sage or something, and, you know, for some undue punishment. So, but it wasn't that he was really cursed or that anybody could curse Yamaraj. He can do whatever he wants, but he needed a vacation. He's the most overworked demigod. All the sinful people coming back again and again and not learning any lessons. So he got, you know, to live 100 years and as Vidura and be a great devotee and associate with the Pandavas and associate with Krishna. And fortunately we have his history and his preaching. Duryodhana hated Vidura because he favored the Pandavas. He told Dhritarashtra, you're keeping offense personified. Why are you keeping this rascal here? You know, he's friendly to the Pandavas. That means he hates me. Of course, nobody liked Duryodhana. Balaram apparently did, but only, you know, because he was a very good disciple. So, but even Dhritarashtra, he was worried about Duryodhana's character. And Bhishma, Drona, you know, they always didn't agree with Duryodhana's plans. But somehow or other, due to all kinds of dharma, kshatriya dharma, and all kinds of duty or obligations, and then also lila, you know, they went around with it. Prabhupada was explaining that Bhishma was, you know, by far the most powerful warrior. He had even defeated Parashuram, his guru. And then it is another explanation, interesting, why he was on the opposite side. Because he said Krishna wanted to show that no matter how powerful you are, if you're on the wrong side, you can't win. You know, if he was against Arjuna, who, you know, has Krishna on his side, he couldn't win. And he didn't want to win, actually. He was happy to, he wanted to be killed, and finally he was sick and tired of all the politics. Vidura also got tired of all the politics, and so when they insulted him so heavily, he just left everything and left the palace. I mean, he was, even though he wasn't in line to be a king or a prince, still because he was the son of, in the family, he was treated like that. He just didn't get the, couldn't take over the post, but he was living very nicely. But he just left everything and wandered the world as a sannyasi for many, many years and just seeking out, you know, people to hear about Krishna. Then he met Uddhava and they had the ecstatic conversations in the first two chapters of this canto. And then he was sent to Maitreya. And then it's a very, very long, you know, one of the major portions of the Bhagavatam where Vidura is learning. Finally, he went back to Hastinapur when, at that time, the Pandavas, of course, were so happy to see him. And we had the famous verse, Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani. You know, saints like you are veritable places of pilgrimage because you carry Krishna with you everywhere. And then he took pity on Dhritarashtra, his brother. He'd always been the minister of Dhritarashtra. He always tried to give him good advice, and Dhritarashtra couldn't follow it because it was contrary to his son. That was his terrible weakness. I saw in the movie, the Mahabharata, you know, Bhishma came in to talk to Dhritarashtra and told him something, and he said, "My son." Bhishma said, "I came to talk to a king, not a father." Being a king comes first. You know, being an officer, being a leader, comes before your bodily attachments. But he was so attached that he did all kinds of terrible things, trying to get his sons in power and going along, even though he knew it was wrong. So he was, and then he was living in Yudhisthira, being such a great personality, was treating him very nicely. He had opulent life, no problem. He had to tell Bhima to leave him alone, and Bhima hated him. He hated Bhima, but he kept him apart. You know that? When the Pandavas came to pay respects to Duryodhan or Dhritarashtra, you know, after the battle, he was embracing all of them. And when Bhima came, Krishna said, "No, no, no, don't." And he pushed an iron statue of Bhima that Duryodhan had been using for practice. And Dhritarashtra just crushed it. He was so powerful. He crushed it. Iron statue. And that way Bhima was protected because he just couldn't have controlled himself. Bhima killed all his sons. But still he's living there. So Vidura came back and said, "You're just like a dog, you know, you're living in the house of your enemy and you're eating his, you know, scraps, and this is very abominable and you've got to get out of here." He said, he was describing, like me, "Your teeth are rattling and your eyes are watering and you can't hear and you can't breathe without, you know, ammonia or something, and so many different things. And you're just going to die like this." And somehow he took it, because he had good training as a child also. So he just left, and nobody knew where he went. And Gandhari went with him, of course, and Kunti, because they were all old. So that was Vidura's causeless mercy. The sadhu is like a knife. It cuts away the material attachments. I guess in this purport, the main thing is this birth control, Garbhadhan Samskara. Preparing the womb, having good consciousness to attract, you know, a good soul to come. Not just, you know, enjoying all the time, and if a child comes and decide whether or not you want it. Right? It's very hard on children when they're not wanted. Varna Samkara. Parisari Prabhu, he said his grandmother was telling his mother she should have abortion. And she didn't. But at least one time when she got very angry with him, she said, "Oh, I should have had the abortion." And that happens now often. You know, the mother's lamenting like that. You know, this is so much trouble. The people have it so wrong. We met a girl, and I think this was common, this was in the 70s. She said, "Yeah, I had an abortion." She said, "I know I'm irresponsible. I wouldn't be a good mother. So I had mercy on the child and killed it. Otherwise, I'd have a bad life with a lousy mother." And she's thinking this is very good. This is Kali Yuga mind. So we have we're trying to preach to these people. India has so much abortion. That doctor we have at the hospital, he said something like 30,000 daily. Not as much as cows. So the whole tsunami where 200,000 people were killed, that's 1 week. America also, that big terrorist attack on the towers. The number of people killed is about 1 week worth of abortion. You can't, they just take it as for granted. We tried to look up statistics in Japan. They only had advertisements for it. You know, it's so abominable. That used to be their only type of birth control, because it's guaranteed. And one of our girls, she went to the doctor when she was pregnant, And the first thing he said, so do you want an abortion? He said, no, I want a baby. He said, are you sure? And behind he had the prices. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, it gets more and more the longer you wait. Are you sure? It's going to be more expensive if you change your mind later. Really nice for the mother, right? And that's the doctor that's supposed to help them deliver the baby. So this is, Kali Yuga is so abominable. Like cows are, just considered practically like machines. No compassion. They say they don't have souls. We were in Nigeria in university class and we were talking about, not eating meat or not killing animals. One boy said, well, the church teaches us that animals don't have souls. So Conteo Prabhu is there. He's from Italy where the church is. He said, the church also taught that black people don't have souls. That's the fact. That's what the slavery time was. They're not humans. God made them to be slaves. God made the cow to eat. The best meat, God made it special for us. Forget the other. If you can exploit other things before you kill it, okay. If you can't, just kill it. So we have an insane world with so much violence. Devotees from Delhi were telling me Delhi is called the rape city now. Even though they made a big fuss over that one, it just inspires more people. Because they're lusty, they're crazy. So we're, we have the nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, complete opposite of what everybody's being taught in school. They're taught danam dehi, janam dehi, give me, give me, give me. And what Chaitanya is saying, I don't want, don't want, don't want. And that's what we're learning, and that's what we want to give up. I was reading that Shishastak prayers last night, the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, I was saying how anyone who reads this regularly, I can't find the verse at the moment, but anyone who reads this Shishastak prayer regularly, they will get, so much Krishna prema and love of Godhead. Most of us are doing that. Most temples recite it every morning. But we have to be careful not to just rattle it off. That's the tendency. Once we memorize something and we do it every day, it's easy to do it without thinking about it so much. So it's good to read that last chapter where Lord Chaitanya, he had written it previously, but this time he's reading his own prayers and then he's making his own ecstatic comments, which are wonderful. And that way we can get more deeply into all these prayers. But for most of us especially, we want to work on the Chinadapi, Sunichina, Chidorapi, Sushina. Manina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadhani, always Kirtan. How can we always do Kirtan? You have to come in a humble state of mind. Manina Manadena, Kirtaniya. Offering all respect to others and not expecting anything in return. The normal mentality in the world is, what will I get for it? Right? When I was in Bombay in 1978, I was making a few life members. Sometimes they come to the temple, I want to be life member. Do you have a guest house in London? Do you have a guest house in Paris? In other words, can I stay free? And then they would calculate if they would make a profit. They would save, by being a life member, they would be saving cost of hotels or something like free food. So, okay, I want to be life member. Right now. Tonight. What do I get for it? But when we give, real charity means we're not expecting any even anybody even knows about. We tend to want that. We see that this band don't invite so-and-so, and this drink by so-and-so. You know, people want to be recognized. And sometimes we use that to inspire others. But a real donor, a real charitable person, he's not concerned unless he's concerned that his donation will inspire others. And that's his motive. Okay, everybody can know that I gave this and let them compete with that or see what they can do. You know, but if someone just wants credit, what will I get for it? And most business deals and most charity in the world is, I want to do business with your company, so I'll give to your charity. And I'll give to your charity. They're not really, and, you know, will I get a tax deduction? That's always the first question for life members. So I get the tax deduction. You have the ADG. That's very important. Same way. Sometimes they want to cheat. Say they gave much more than they did. But we have the best thing. We control the mind. When the minds are controlled, and we can teach others to control their mind, and then we get good quality people, and if they become family members, people, they'll have good children, they'll raise them properly, they'll be a good example. It's not vital, you know, we don't, if we had only brahmacharis in the world, I don't know how long these things would last. Although one time Prabhupada was saying something about no sex, and the devotee said, but Prabhupada, if there was no sex, there'd be no more children. And I said, yes, Vaikuntha. But everything has to be under rules and regulations. Kali Yuga, people don't want any rules and regulations. They want freedom. Freedom of sense gratification. America was founded on that. So it becomes very problematic. And other countries are following. Freedom of speech, freedom of everything. The right to have guns. They would fight for that, but at the time they made that law, you know, they were living, most of them were like farmers and living, and there were wild Indians, and the British were attacking, and, you know, they needed to shoot to eat, and so they needed a right to have weapons, because I guess in Europe at the time they were restricting only the army to have weapons. But now, what do they need weapons? That's what they demand, they have. And so they have so many shooting deaths. Many are accidental. Much more are accidental than, you know, somebody actually shooting somebody. But people playing with their gun, they shoot themselves, they shoot their brother. It's very crazy. Children find a gun and shoot somebody. But freedom, you can say anything you want. When the pornography was first spreading on the internet, one, I think he was the speaker of the Senate or something like that, he said, well, it's freedom of speech, we can't do anything about it. Freedom of speech. In other words, you can spread any kind of lies, you can spread any kind of pornography, you can do anything. Freedom. No restriction. So they have a chaotic society. The Bhagavad Gita refers to the regulations as the principles of freedom. When somebody has a regulated life, then they get freedom. They're not, you know, when someone is not lusty, for instance, then he's free from all the influence of the mode of passion. Otherwise, people are just dragged around by their tongue, by their nose, by their eyes, chasing after this, chasing after that, thinking I have freedom. I can choose whatever kind of whiskey I want, or I can choose, you know, what kind of cigarette I smoke. Freedom. But they have to smoke, they have to drink whiskey, they have to go to a restaurant. But they promote it as freedom. That's not freedom. Freedom means you're not influenced by all these urges. And then you're free. So Krishna. That's what we're working on. That's our process, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the more we can do that, the more we'll be liberated. I'll just read a little bit here what Prabhupada wrote at the end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Concluding words. This Sunday, November 10, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik Chaitanya era, 488, the 11th day of the dark night, the Rama Ekadasi, we have finished the English translation of Krishnadas Kaviraj's Chaitanya Charitamrita. In accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend, although according to material vision, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani. There are two ways of association, Vani and Vapu. Vani means words and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. But Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, he must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. We may recall to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace. Sometime in the year 1922, Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Mayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Mutt. He was sitting in a house on Ulta Dunga when, through the announcement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Mullick, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace. I don't remember the exact date, but at that time I was one of the managers and so on and so forth, dressed in khadi, addicted to Gandhi. Fortunately, at the first meeting, he advised me to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English, because at that time, I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi's. I submitted to His Divine Grace that unless our country was freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Of course, we had some argument, and at last I was defeated and convinced that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was convinced that the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in good hands, a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. I could not, however, immediately take up this instruction to preach, but I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. And then he gives it how he passed his life, and he took vanaprastha and was all alone, and finally he took sannyas, and, you know, his how he made the back to Godhead, how he finally got to New York. So I was induced to translate the Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time and later life, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn Bengali just to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This work took about 18 months, and now it's published, and he's thanking his disciples, Pratyumna, Nitai, Jayadvaita, and many others who helped him. So, and Prabhupada on the ship also said that was his only solace when he was sick, and you know, he didn't know what was going to happen. He was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita for years. So it's important to read in order to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam. You can read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the Vani, Prabhupada, I heard so many times when I joined, the Vani is better than the Vapu. Especially the devotees that were leaving to go be with Prabhupada. Vani is better. Service and separation is better. Now I realize I was fortunate. It is. And that's why. Because it's always available. You don't feel, you know, if you have too much, some people have too much personal association with Prabhupada, and when he left, they were lost. And they didn't get the connection with the Vani as much as the person. And they got bewildered. But those who had only the Vani, you know, were just reading the books and distributing books, and they got great mercy because the Vani was still there. It becomes more important. And that's always there. The books are always there. So please take it seriously. Read these books and teach them. Live them. Teach by example. So, thank you very much. Any questions? Anybody? After breakfast? Somebody has a question?
The physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. So, the Prabhupada writes here, the physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes it is not.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, it could be taken two ways. One way is that sometimes you don't have it, so you can't appreciate it. Another way is familiarity breeds contempt. If someone that's in the physical presence of the Guru is actually warned in Chaitanya Charitamrita to be careful, or the deity, that you can become offensive without realizing. That happened to many of the prophets, personal servants. So I think he needs me. He can't live without me. And they get fucked up. Or they see, oh, well, he's tired, or he forgot this, or they start to criticize. So that's another way. I think the main meaning here is that, because he says afterwards that the Vani is always available, that the Vapu is not always available. I mean, how many people can be in close physical presence of the Guru at one time? A few, you know. Right? Very few. But the books, the Vani is available for any number of people, as we're seeing, and then we just keep filling up warehouses and emptying them with books all the time. More and more people have them, and they're able to get that intimate association. Therefore, it's superior. Can't lose it. All right? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much.